Psalm 84. Turn there, if you will. Psalm 84. The title of the message tonight is The Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca. Psalm 84, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Normally we'll do almost a verse-by-verse study on Wednesday night, but I want to just cover these two verses tonight as we think about the Valley of Baca. In Psalm 84, beginning with verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." Now, those verses are beautiful verses when you really find the background, find out the background about them. Baca, the word Baca literally is talking about, the root word is weep. It is the valley of weeping, and the trees that it was talking about in that valley were balsam trees, and they would give off some type of sap, and they would be like, they would talk about it like it was weeping, a weeping tree. And so the valley of Baca are these balsam trees that flourished in that valley. Now, it was well known that the balsam trees liked dry land. And normally when you would see a bunch of balsam trees, you would expect it to be a very dry place. And so these Jews, many times they were on their way to Jerusalem, and they would be worn out, they would be tired, and they would come to the valley of Baca. And they would expect in that valley that they would remain tired and thirsty and maybe rest a little that night, but that would there would be no water, there would be nothing refreshing for them. But they would awaken in the morning so many times to know that the rain had fallen during the night and that the pools in the valley of Baca were filled up. And that's just a symbolic of you and of me going through some hard times and some tough times and some dry times and some difficult times and wondering how in the world are we going to make it, but we make it through them and we come out on the other side, and that's what he's talking about. They came out all right as they went through the valley of Baca. Now, we all have heartaches, and I can tell you tonight that heartaches are unavoidable. They're absolutely unavoidable. You're going to have them, and I'm going to have them, and some of us are going through some heartaches tonight. I'm positive there are some in this room that are going through some heartaches. Now, if you're not, you will be. I often think of a lot of the young couples in our church, and I'm glad they're here, and I love them. But I think about all the things they're going to have to face as they go down through the years, things that they can't imagine, that they don't even realize they're going to face. And also, even those of us that are what we would call senior saints, we may not really realize all that we're going to face down the road. But I can tell you that we all have unavoidable valleys that we're going to face. What kind of valley are you in tonight? Sometimes it's the valley of the hospital room. I've made some hospital calls today where some folks are very, very sick. And that's a difficult time. It's down in the valley. But yet, as God gives them the strength and the grace, they'll come through that, and God will use that somehow for His glory. God always heals. You say, "Well, preacher, I didn't know that." Yes, He may take them to heaven to heal them, but God always heals. But they are going to go through that valley. It may be the valley of financial reversals or financial hardships, some things you didn't plan on. I had one of our men Sunday morning. I said, "How you doing?" Shook hands with him and his wife. And he said, "Well, not so good." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "After 28 years, I just lost my job." And he had a good job. He's in the valley, though he wasn't acting like he was depressed. But I'm saying trouble comes. Problems come. And he was in the valley. And so certainly is going to be a financial reversal and problems for them in some ways. They'll have to really change their lifestyle, no doubt, for a period of time. It may be the valley of having a wayward child. And sometimes we have wayward children, don't we? Some of you older parents in here would say, "That's right, preacher. We never dreamed that our daughter would do what she did. And we never dreamed that our son would do what he did, or that they're doing what they're doing right now." Some of you tonight, as you think about your children, it's a burden on your heart. Maybe you have one, maybe you have 10 or 12, but there's going to be somebody in that group, and maybe that one that's going to break your heart. And you're in that valley. You've got them on your mind. You have them on your heart. You just keep on praying, keep on trusting God to bring that wayward child back. Right now, it seems like it's the dry valley of Baca, but God can make the rain come down. Just keep praying, and things can change. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one. That's a difficult time to go through. We have widows and widowers in our church, and they know that there are those difficult days where they remember, and some very recently, go back to a recent time when their loved one passed away. That's a tough time. It's a valley. It's a difficult time. But God sees people through all of those times. It may be the betrayal of a spouse. I, over the years of pastoring, have had to deal with that many times. And it's a hard thing to deal with, whether it's the husband having to deal with it in relationship to his wife, or his wife having to deal with it in relationship to her husband. What a difficult and hard thing to go through, where your loved one you thought would be your mate for life, and somehow they betrayed you, went out on you, had an affair with somebody else, or just walked out and wanted a divorce, and your heart was crushed. A valley of Baca that you're facing. Who in the world can take you through that? Only God, only the Lord Jesus Christ can undergird you and help you in those times. Sometimes it's physical diseases. You know, we have people in our church that have some very serious physical diseases. And they live in pain and trouble and difficulty that you and I know nothing about, many of us. And yet, they trust God to see them through that valley of physical diseases. Sometimes it's a broken heart. Sometimes it's feeling like you have a defeated life. All kinds of valleys that we face. Heartaches are unavoidable. They are going to come. I've also noticed that heartaches are unselected. They come to the saved and the unsaved. Why is it that saved folks think just because they're saved, going to church and tithing, that they're not going to have any problems? And too often we think, if I'm doing everything right, living right, and serving the Lord, I'm not going to have any problems. And quite frankly, I think there are a lot of Christians who serve the Lord with that motive, and the very first time they have some serious problems, they quit on God and question God and wonder, "Oh Lord, why have you done this to me? I'm a good person." Let's get one thing straight tonight. None of us are good. We're sinners saved by the good grace of God. Now we may be trying to live an obedient life, but the fact that you're living an obedient life does not mean that you're not going to have some problems. Heartaches are unselected. It comes to the saved and the unsaved. And you can preach this name it and claim it stuff all you want to. And you can follow those pseudo-teachers that tell you that God wants you to be happy and wealthy and feeling good all the time. And this prosperity theology that is a lie from hell has no biblical basis whatsoever to back it up. And you can believe that if you want to and think that there's no reason you can have any sickness. I heard a song today. I keep gospel music on my radio most of the time. And I was enjoying it pretty much until this woman started talking about that nobody in the song, that nobody in essence should ever be sick, and that because Christ died on the cross, nobody has to be sick. That's a lie. Ask the Apostle Paul. I think he was sick once in a while. In fact, God wouldn't heal him. But God had a reason, a greater reason in it. So we don't believe in this name it and claim it just because you're a Christian. You may find out, I've had to sit down with couples, talk to them, their heart was broken, they found out that their son was a homosexual. And they called and came in my office and have to talk to them about that. Friend, they're saved, they love the Lord, they're doing the right thing, but these things can come to them just as it can to anyone else. Or someone whose wife died, or somebody who had a pastor that died, and they wondered, how could that happen? Why would that happen? But we have to discover the truth that heartaches are unselected. It's going to come both to the righteous and to the unrighteous. And then, usually, many of the heartaches, many of the valleys of Baca, these bitter experiences are unexplainable. You know, God has said in His Word that His ways are past our finding out. Now, you may try to figure it out, and I'll tell you, there's some things that have happened in my life, and I got saved at an early age. There have been some things that happened in my life. I, to this day, have no idea why they happened. There are some other things that happened. I knew why they happened. I knew how God used them. But there are a lot of things that have happened, and I really don't know why to this very day. I don't know why I'm coughing right now, but I'm coughing. But at any rate, we don't know those things. We don't understand those things. His ways are past our finding out. He sees the whole picture. We see a little part. God knows what He's trying to do with my life and your life when He allows these things to come into our lives. And so we go through those valleys of Baca, and we have a tough time, and we anticipate there's going to be some rough and dry times. Now, for the believer, trouble is always tempered by time. Remember that. To the believer, to the Christian, trouble is always tempered by time. Go back and look at verse 6 again. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. You see, they had to come to that valley of Baca, but thank God they went on past the valley of Baca. They went through the valley of Baca. And trouble is always tempered by time. We're passing through. We need to remember we're just passing through this world too, by the way. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. How about you? We know that this is temporary. We all hope we can live to be 100, 101, I guess. Everybody seems to want to do that. But even at that, what's 100 years? My soul, I was just thinking today, I was thinking about one of my buddies that I used to preach with when he first started and I first started, and I'm thinking, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and as soon as I see him, the first thing I'm going to say to him, I'm going to say, where did the time go? Where in the world did it go? Seems like yesterday I was helping him out. He didn't have any money. He was trying to start a church, and I was trying to help him out. I'd get a little money. At least I had a job at a church, and we'd go eat at McDonald's, and I'd buy his meal sometimes. And then God bless, and his church grew, and God bless that. But I was just thinking, man, how time gets away. It gets away so quickly. Sometimes I'm afraid that we forget that. We have to keep our mind on the reality of our destination. We're too world-focused. We're too now-focused. And that's why we get into these problems of pleasure and sin and materialism and all of those things. We're too now-focused. But we have to understand, hey, whatever happens, I'm going to get through the valley. I'm just passing through it. And whatever the trouble, whatever the problems come my way, whatever I have to face, it doesn't matter because I'm going to get through it. And it's just a temporary thing. I'm glad it's temporary. I'm glad some of the things you don't have to endure for eternity. And thank God it is temporary. You see, tonight, I promise you, I know my destination. You say, oh, that's spiritual arrogance for you to say you know that you know you're going to heaven. My friend, it's not spiritual arrogance. It's the Holy Word of God. And I know that I'm here temporarily. I don't know when I'll go. I'm just like the rest of you. I'm wanting to hold out to the rapture, which I think is going to be pretty soon. That'd be wonderful. I think of, these teenagers and young couples and all the things that they anticipate they want to do and their plans. But let me tell you something. If Jesus comes and interrupts your plans, it'll be the greatest interruption you've ever had in your life. To be able to go up and be with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. I'm just passing through. So by God's grace, I'm going to do my best to just not worry about things. I have to really fight the devil on that, just like anybody else. Certainly being a pastor of a church, there are many burdens that go along with that. But you see what? I know my destination. And when the devil attacks, I would have to remind myself, hey, this is temporary. It's not going to last. You're going to be in heaven someday, and all of the troubles and trials are going to be over with. So don't worry about the devil's attacks. Just fight him back and know that when they come, you're going to get through the thing. He may tell you that you're not good looking, or you're ugly, or you're too skinny, or you're too fat, or nobody likes you, or your wife doesn't appreciate you, or your husband doesn't. I don't know. Whatever he attacks you on, just go back and attack him and say, get out of here, devil. No, go. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And just remind him, no matter what it is, it's a temporal thing, just a temporary thing. The process is always tempered by time. Now, the process should never be mistaken for the purpose. Sometimes we get that mixed up. But the process should never be mistaken for the purpose. Here's what I'm saying. The processes are unseen. We don't understand that. Do you remember what Jacob said about Joseph? When he got the report, one of the children had to stay, and Joseph had been missing all that period of time. Jacob said, and Joseph is not. Now, do you know why he said that? Because his eyes told him he's not here. What he thought he knew was really not what he knew. He thought Joseph was dead. He thought he didn't exist. But he wasn't dead. But God allowed that to happen for a greater purpose and a greater victory. And his eyes told him that he was not there, and yet he really was out there. But that's what Jacob saw. Later on, he saw the truth, thank God. And he was blessed because of that. Reminds me of the guy that he and his wife had gotten through with a great, great meal. And she got up and got ready to leave. And he said they were going to take his fork. He said, no, don't take our forks. He said, the best is yet to come. Because he knew he had already seen the desserts. And he was getting ready to eat some dessert. Well, I can tell you tonight, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Amen? It's going to come. And we know it's going to happen. And if we could see behind the scenes by faith, and just believe what God says, we know that the best is yet to come. And God has something for us. The processes of God are unhurried many times. Remember that. We want it over now. We want it done in a hurry right now. We want to be healed immediately. We want all of these things to happen. And you say, well, do you believe God can heal immediately? Oh, yes, yes. And sometimes he does. That's up to God. But what if he chooses not to heal you immediately or whatever? You see, we've got to remember the processes are unhurried and they are tempered by time, and we have to understand that God has a purpose. Now go back and think of Mary and Martha. And you remember, they thought Christ was late. They said if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And I think probably they were saying it in a tone that would be like many of us would say, I don't understand why you didn't come the other day, Lord. I don't understand why you didn't come. You had a chance to come, and you could have gotten here, but you didn't come. And they didn't understand it. But see, you've got to understand that the processes of God are unhurried. God allows them to happen in his time. And they thought he was not an on-time God. But he was an on-time God. And I'll tell you, when they saw Lazarus come out of that grave, I guarantee you, they knew that a greater victory had been done than just healing him. Not only was the Lord there, but the Lord raised him from the dead. And if he hadn't called his name, all the dead would have come out. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. And so with God, it's not that God is on time or out of time or behind time. It is that it is God's due time. And he says many times in his word, in due time. And in God's time, when God wants to take care of it, God will take care of it. That is what God has arranged in his sovereign purposes. And whatever they are, he's going to let it happen in his time. Women talk about having a baby on time. No, it's due time. Doctor can set a time and tell you the time, and you get all excited about it, and then we have to wait and watch you for another week until that baby's born. Or sometimes a wife says to her husband, oh, it's not time, but we better go. It's time to go. By the way, when our first child was born, I had to stop and get gas. My wife was very unhappy with me because it wasn't quite due time, but I wasn't worried about the gas tank so much. But by the time the next one came along, I had a full tank. But I'm serving a God of sovereignty and processes, and his time is always the right timing. It's the due time. It's God's time. Now, sometimes the things that come are very enjoyable. But I could tell you a lot of wonderful things that have happened, and they happened in God's perfect timing, and how enjoyable those things were. I can remember when I needed a car, and I was praying for a car, a special car, and God gave me a car. I can remember when we were praying for a dishwasher, and God gave me a dishwasher. My wife started washing dishes. No, we got a new dishwasher. I can remember praying for certain things, financial needs, and God just supplied them miraculously. Those are the good times. Those are the wonderful times. And we always say, well, God was right there, and praise the Lord, and God was on time. But suppose he wanted to stretch it out a little bit, make us sweat just a little bit, make us depend on him a little more, make us see what our motivation is in giving and whether we're really doing it for the right reason. Do we give because we just absolutely love him? Or do we give because we don't want to go to the hospital or have a flat tire car trouble? Now, I'll tell you, a lot of people, that's it. They say, and I'd rather be in God's will, and I think you get some of those blessings because of it, but our motivation should be to bring him honor and glory. And there's a part in this chapter, and I don't have time to really cover it, but the whole thing in this whole chapter was that the glory of God, God's glory, might be seen. And that's why we have to trust him and believe it. Sometimes God will lead us down the path, and it will be the valley of Baca, and we won't really like it, and we'll look at all those trees and say, man, this is going to be a long-term dry place, no water, it's going to be rough. And when God in his due time wants to, he'll let the rain come down and he'll fill up the pools. And that's exactly what happened to them there. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. It's a pleasant experience. If you turn it around, trust God, let God handle it, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Filled them up, and they had plenty of water, and it was a good experience, as they understood that God was going to take them through it. I don't know what your valley is tonight. You may not have one. Praise God you don't. But I have a hunch that a lot of us can think of a valley. Something that's on our heart. Something that's bearing on our mind. Something that is sort of the main thing in our prayer time. The thing that we weep about and the thing we get a hold of God the most about. Something that is a burden or need, or something that is resting on our heart and pressing on our lives, a valley, a need, a trial, something that we need from God. If we'll just go to him, he'll let it rain. Don't quit. Wait on him. It's his timing. And just do what's right. And I believe God will turn your valley of Baca into a pool of water. Let's stand, please. We're going to have an invitation. If you have a burden or prayer, whatever you want to pray about, it's always open. Many times we just want to come and talk to the Lord a little bit, and that's a good thing to do. Don't hesitate to do it, even on the midweek service, if God has spoken to your heart about something. Listen to what He says and bring that burden, bring that valley, bring that thing to the Lord again and let Him get you right through it. We're going to go through it. Father, bless us and help us. Lord, I know that valleys are difficult, and yet as we look to You and look to eternity and keep our perspective right, we know that You're going to bring us through the valleys. And life, in a way, is a valley, because we're sinners and we're in a sin-cursed world. And it could be said that it's true that life is a valley, but we're going to go through that too as believers. And someday, either at death, which is our friend and ally, or at the rapture, we're going to go and be with You. We're going to come through it because of Your grace. Lord, I'm sure there are people here tonight that have some burdens on their heart. Some that I've named, some that I haven't named, some Your Holy Spirit has named to them. May we bring them to You as You lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.